Mr. Cowdery, your thought?
Well, Andrew Collin, he seemed to be the go-between from us and the Chinese. He could talk to them some way that other people couldn't. If you wanted anything and you tried yourself, they'd say, yes, all right, we'll see. If we can, we'll get it. But Convin used to be able to get these things done. He seemed to have that way. And it was a great surprise when eventually we were repatriated to find that he wanted to stay behind. But I gather he's changed since. Now he's back in this country.
Did you ever get despondent about whether you'd get back home or not?
Well, yes, I think everybody did. Everybody does. But something else would crop up and you'd, forget it and get on with something else.
I mean, did people think that they'd never get back to England?
Oh, yes, yes, people did think that way. I believe one of them got drowned that way. He committed suicide. He went down to the river and sort of, that's it, he just floated out. But the Americans were the ones who sort of gave in to things. They wouldn't figure these things out. They would give in to things. If things went wrong, they'd just let them flow away. We'd try and do something about them, and they would just fall in and give up. No, I think the British were fairly good. They all helped each other and saw the future more than others,
Would you be getting news about the course of the war, how it was going?
Not the course of the war. Most of the news we were getting was about peace talks. I believe they lasted for years. That was the conversation more than anything, from the Chinese. The peace talks, Panmunjom peace talks.
What would they say about them?
Like the Americans have upset the peace talks again, and the Americans are demanding such and such too much, and upset the peace talks again. So,
did you pay much attention to
no,
these peace talks?
No, not really. It's nice to think that they were going on, but every time they broke down, so you think, oh no, not again. We didn't really bank on them.
Did you feel that your fate depended on the outcome of the peace talks, or did you think that the UN forces might push up to where you were and liberate you?
No, we didn't understand the position on the front, so our only hope was the peace talks, was a settlement of the peace talks. We didn't understand what was going on with the fighting, the troops.
Were you getting air raids in the camp?
Well, the air raids were sounded, but we could see fighting going on in the sky, dog fights. Sometimes there were, I believe, two or three times a low aircraft came over, I suppose, photographing everything. But we could see the dog fights going on in the sky.
Did you ever see a plane shot down?
No, well, I've seen one on fire, but not actually shot down, no. Or smoke from them.
Did any bombs fall near your camp?
No, nothing like that.
Were you just at the one camp, Pyokdong?
Yes, yeah. Just the one camp.
Were you getting letters from home?
Yes, there was mail. I can't recall getting a lot. I don't think I got to very many, but there were letters coming through.
Were there some?
Not early on, must have been in the last years, but not early on.
Would you get them whole or censored?
All censored. Censored.
What type of things will be cut out, do you know?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anything was cut out. It was just that they were read and before we got them. I suppose, to see if there was anything in them. I don't know. No, I wouldn't say they were strictly censored.
So you wouldn't have sections penciled out?
No.
And what kind of letters or cards were you able to send out?
Oh, I have one there, which I will show you later, which was a Mother's Day card that we sent out. But it was normally it was a piece of paper with your letter in it, and then it was folded up and sent off.
So you didn't just have things to strike out.
No,
you
no.
could actually write
you
a could, letter.
You could write a letter.
And when you got back home, did you find out whether they'd got through or not?
Yes, my parents got some letters, yes. I wouldn't say they got them all, but they got some of them.
Were they able to send you parcels with food in?
No, there was nothing received like that.
Can you tell me how you came to be released, to be liberated?
We were trained down to Pam and John on box carts and various other wagons on the train. So we came down from the camp into a holding camp outside Pam and John, where we received everything you could think of, cigarettes, soaps and flannels and toothbrushes, anything that the Chinese make out that the Chinese were treating you well. I wouldn't say they treated us badly anyway. But they gave us a lot of things like that, and when we were actually released over this line at Pam and John, I remember a British major in the artillery giving each one of us a packet of 20 players of senior service cigarettes and welcoming us back over the line. That's how we got released. So many were released each day. From there we went and changed all. We were in Chinese clothes then. And then we went to various camps to change clothing, equipped with American clothing, and on to Japan where we got British clothing.
What kind of physical and mental condition were you in when you were released?
Physical condition, I think I was down to about 7 stone, really quite thin.
What do you wear normally?
I was up to 10.5 stone, I think, was my weight before I was captured. So I went down about 7 stone when I came home, but it soon went on. And then I was 10, 11 stone from then on.
And did you suffer any after effects from the imprisonment, do you think?
Ah, well, that's different. Yes. Well, things like nightmares, and I had a touch of malaria. I had this symptom come back where I couldn't move my legs. I used to sort of fall out of bed in the mornings. I think I'm over that now, I hope.
What type of nightmares did you have about?
Well, reliving your life at that time. Really, real nightmares.
You mean about your capture or about the POW life?
Both.
Did your period of imprisonment with the Chinese change your feelings about them?
Well, I know a lot more about them now, but I didn't know a lot about them when we went there. I'd already served in Hong Kong, and there was a different type of Chinese entirely. There was all business people in Hong Kong, you know, making money and everybody living our sort of way, a capitalist way. But meeting the Chinese in Korea was an entirely different situation.
How do you think that you were treated in captivity?
Well, I used to listen to the stories that these other ex-POWs told of the Japanese and the Germans, and I think we were treated a lot better. The worst part of a prisoner of war life is the day-to-day living. But if you're fairly well treated, you can get by, you can do as you're told, and you can come out of it all right. But if you're harassed and punished, like POWs of the Japanese and Germans were, that's different. That must be pretty hard for them. But even so, they still came out smiling, a lot of them. No, I think we were treated better.
I don't know if you've read any of the accounts of Korea, the Korean War, since you were released, like the accounts of captivity by people like Farah Hockley and so on. Do you find that the type of things that have been written to be accurate, or do they coincide with your own experience?
They don't coincide with my experience, no, but I would believe them, because they were... Farah Hockley was an officer, so therefore he would be interrogated more than we would. And I believe he was captured by Koreans, I think, not the Chinese. And they were, from what I was told, were very vicious. Yes, I believe all the accounts I read of the participants in... prisoners.
You said that your own conditions weren't too bad, but I think that you said that you did suffer from vermin.
Oh yes, after a while you could not wash, or it was much too cold anyway. You couldn't get hold of any heated water. So everybody contacted or had lice. Now, that's not a very nice thing to say, but everybody had the same, so we were all equal. And you used to sit for hours delousing yourselves. I think it was about May or the June 1951, when we could do something about it. We got some very big oil drums and boiled the water, and we boiled all our clothes. That got rid of the lice. But then the Chinese started giving out Chinese uniforms to the prisoners, which we accepted because ours were not all that good after that, boiling and delousing lice. So we got rid of the lice. Then when we came onto these bunk beds, we got bed bugs, which we never had before. So that was another problem, getting rid of them.
How did you get rid of them?
Well, I don't think we didn't get rid of them. We were repatriated soon after they came to light. We used to kill as many as we could because they used to be in the wood of the beds.
Which is the worst, having lice or bed bugs?
Well, they both take blood off you, so I don't know. You could feel the bed bugs. They would bite. But the lice are there just sucking away at your blood. But yes, you could. The bed bugs would bite.
Would the bites of both the lice and the bed bugs itch?
Oh yes, yes they would. But you wouldn't feel the lice biting you. But you'd see the next morning that the body of the lice was swollen up with your blood. And I don't mean one or two, I mean thousands. So he must have given a few pints of blood each time.